to have Kieran Blake in. We just know him as Beefy in these four walls of SEN 365 Days of Sport. And have we got some interesting guests with a few good stories to tell this hour. Good to see you.
I try and come up with the weird and the wacky, as we well know. And I've dredged a few up for today's show.
All right, give us the cast. Who's coming up?
Well, first up, we've got the new world champion cliff diver, Australian Rhiannon Ifland. So she won the Red Bull cliff diving series this year.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't do that one.
No, I know. Couldn't do that some one. Some of the scenery and some of the things they dive into is just phenomenal.
Yep.
Got Davey Watt, who's currently leading the Australian Speedway Championships. They just did the second round in Mildura last night, and Davey came third. And we've got Robert Kroll from the Boomerang Association of Australia. So he's the secretary of the whole thing, but the twist to Robert's story, apart from he's been competing for 30 or 40 years, is he actually makes the boomerangs as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pretty interesting.
Nice little chat. And we're going to throw into the mix, this stumbled across my desk in the last few days. There's a man in Melbourne who this year is playing his 50th consecutive year at the Moorabbin Baseball Club, Mel Imlach. And we're going to have a chat to him.
Excellent.
He's decided he's going to sign off. He's 60 years of age. Been playing there since he was 10. He's raised the bat, so to speak, 50 consecutive years.
That's amazing. I'll struggle to get to 50, let alone play sport at the same club for 50 years.
So we're going to have a chat to Mel a little bit later on. 9429 1116. If you've got anything for Beefy today, give us a call or send through a text 0433 98 1116. As you said during the week, you're not a fan of dead rubbers, so thank goodness the test is over, to be honest, because the Pakistanis just... really didn't put much of a fight together in that third and final test.
Yeah, apart from, I mean, Yunus batted well in the first innings, and, you know, they kind of threw it away. And I think Davey Warner just, he also just was out there for a bit of fun, just smashing it to hell on high water from ball one. And, it's one of those things. It's, you know, as you said during the week as well, it's a TV thing. It's got to be played. And, you know, Pakistan just wanted to go home, to be honest.
I had a little story yesterday. When they were in Melbourne, they apparently were staying at the Langham Hotel. Very nice hotel.
Beautiful.
Hmm. And it'd be fair to say that a few of the staff weren't all that happy.
Oh, really?
With the Pakistan cricket team. Yeah. Well, I probably can't say a hell of a lot more, but they didn't endear themselves.
Okay. Mm. You've planted the seed now around the Melbourne sporting public, so it's interesting to see. But when it's not going right on the field, things do happen off the field, unfortunately.
Hmm.
As I've known that throughout my career as well.
And I suppose, look, I think from here, you'd be very surprised. Look, you know, Misbo hasn't said he's totally going to retire, but and he'll appreciate going back to some kinder decks in the UAE and through the subcontinent. But at 42, pretty ordinary series from the captain, not just with the bat.
No, on the field as well, captaincy and everything else. And it's...
And he's been pretty good for Pakistan.
Oh, geez, you know, he's had a 20-year test career. But the other thing is, what have they got in the locker? You know, is there youth coming through? Is there people they can turn back to, you know? Or is he the best of a bad lot and you stick with the, you know, better the devil you know? So, you know, I don't know Pakistan cricket inside and out, and it's difficult. They've had their issues with, you know, match fixing and everything else over the years, or spot fixing, I shouldn't say match fixing. Mm. So you never know. You just don't know what's there.
They've always been hugely unpredictable. Let's welcome in our first guest, Rhiannon Ifland. Now, she is the women's world diving champion. This is quite amazing. Cliff diving champion. And she joins us here on Melbourne's Home of Sport. Rhiannon, very nice to have you on the show.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, Rhiannon, it's Beefy. I kind of came across a story about a month ago and I kind of forgot about it, and then something jogged my memory this week, so I thought I'd better get you on the show because we always like to welcome world champions into the fold. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've got a great story as well. Not that long ago, you were doing cruise ship shows as a diver. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was working for Royal Caribbean, Allure of the Seas. They have an aqua theatre right at the back of the ship. It's a pool on the back, and was doing some trampolining, some diving, and some high diving. There's a 17-metre platform built into the ship there. So
that's amazing. So you had a wild card into the Abu Dhabi round in 2015, which you didn't do that well. Then they gave you a wild card into the first round in Texas this year. And what happened?
Yeah, It was quite a surprise. I trained hard. I mean, I didn't do that well in Abu Dhabi, and I really put in the work for the next competition, and I went there with no fears and no worries, and I took out the event. So
it's a really an amazing thing, and the scenery and some of the situations Red Bull put you in are just amazing. And we have a Welsh flavour to this this show, and the Pembrokeshire coast, the Blue Lagoon there, that looks amazing. But I bet it'd be freezing in the water.
Yeah, it wasn't warm, that's for sure, and it was really, really windy there. But it was just amazing scenery there, and something that I'd never seen anything before.
So, Rhiannon, you've had a very quick rise to the podium, and you only took this up last year.
Yeah, I've been high diving now for around a year and a half.
And how did you get into it? What was the catalyst to take on this sport? And I'm actually just watching a visual of you here, and I'd definitely be out of my comfort zone. But what led you down this path?
Well, I grew up as a trampolinist, actually. Yep. And then I was diving 10-metre competitively, and kind of, you know, it was a bit repetitive for me to climb up to 10-metre in the same aquatic centre every day. And then I started with shows on Royal Caribbean, and I saw a couple of colleagues of mine. They were diving from 17, and they were showing me all about Red Bull cliff diving. And so ever since, I followed it. And the first time I saw Red Bull cliff diving, I said, wow, that's going to be me one day. That's going to be my next goal to achieve. And what do you know?
That's
first
right.
Year, and now here I am.
So the step up from 10 to obviously 17 on the cruise ship, and Red Bull's generally between 21 and 24. So
yeah,
the difference to you in terms of technique and actually, you know, hitting the water, is it much different, or are you just trying to squeeze more stuff in?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, there is room for more skills and somersaults, but yeah, the impact is quite dramatically different. I mean, 10 meters on top, we're not landing on our head above 12, 14 meters because the impact is just so strong for the wrists and the neck.
Yeah.
So we're actually doing an extra half somersault with a half twist to land on our feet to withstand the impact.
And I see your signature move is the three somersaults, two twists.
Yes, backwards.
Backwards. Oh, sorry. don't want to make it too simple.
Tell us about the training that you do, Rhiannon, to compete in this series.
Yeah, look, obviously it is quite tricky to actually find facilities that we're able to dive 20 metres. So sometimes throughout the season I'm travelling to different places that I can find 20 metres or higher or a tiny bit lower, you know, some cliffs. Particularly in Italy and Switzerland, I like to go. But apart from that, I'm training a lot of 10-meter and just doing a lot of repetitions there. So once I get up to 20, I feel comfortable. So, yeah.
Now, I mentioned about the spectacular scenery.
Mm-hmm.
I was just having a chat this morning to a couple of my mates about this. And is there a site in Australia that we could host a round of the Red Bull cliff diving? I mean, it doesn't have to be cliff diving. Obviously, in Bosnia, they actually jump off a bridge, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of amazing locations in Australia. It's just about them actually, you know, finding it. And I think there might even be a lineup for the countries who actually want to host the competition. So, but definitely there is some great locations within Australia.
We're talking to Rhiannon Iflin, the Women's World Cliff Diving Champion. She's from Newcastle in Australia. Go on and look at some of the footage. It's quite remarkable. I mean, has this become, a fairly lucrative sport? I mean, is there enough in it for you to travel around in terms of prize money? How does it all work, Rhiannon?
Yeah, definitely. At the moment, it's paying the bills. And it's a full-time job for me now. I mean, I'm on the season for 6 months of the year, and then the other 6 months I spend training and really preparing for the competitions. And you know what? For me, it's really great. I've always loved to travel, and I've always had a passion for the sport. And it takes me to so many amazing locations around the world, and I can do what I love. So
I'm just looking at half of them now, and it certainly attracts a crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. I think 70,000 people in Italy and
yeah,
in La Rochelle.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So, Rhiannon, there's seven rounds in the series, and you've won five of them this year.
Yeah.
Do you think the other girls are out to get you now?
uh,
considering you turned up on a whim as a wild card?
I would hope not, but of course it's a competition, and everybody goes there for the reason to win, you know. But I think all the divers really get along, and there's a really strong bond there because it is such a dangerous sport between everybody. Everybody's really nice and encouraging.
And we've got to mention as well, Helena Merton is also another Aussie in the series. I think she came third or fourth in the championship this year. Where's Helena based out of?
Gold Coast.
Okay.
She's a diver from Gold Coast.
And she was actually part of the series as a full-time professional as well. And obviously she'll be looking to come back as a permanent member too.
Strong next year, yes. She did qualify also for the series next year.
Now, obviously, in the Olympics, you know, the 10-meter board is there. Now, you've made your mark with cliff diving. Is there a possibility of coming down, you know, dropping back down to 10 meters to try and for the Olympics?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be climbing down the ladder anytime soon. I can't really see myself dropping down to 10 meter, to be honest. It's too much enjoyment in cliff diving. And as I said, I spent so many years diving 3 meter and 10 meter that I was ready for a new challenge.
Yep. No, that's fantastic. And how's it working with the Red Bull crew? We've done quite a bit of stuff with Red Bull over the years, and they just, you know, nothing is impossible, so to speak, with those guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The locations and the way that they accommodate for the athletes is absolutely incredible. Some of the places that they take us and just the experiences that they present us with is absolutely amazing.
Great stuff. Really good footage. Look, we love doing sports. We've got a little bit of a point of difference and maybe hasn't got the notoriety of other sports, but this is certainly growing right around the world. And maybe, as Beefy said, we can get around right here on our own shores in Australia. Rhiannon, continued success. We'll certainly keep an eye on your results.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Best of luck for this year.
Rhiannon Ifland, Women's World Cliff Diving Champion. There you go. I don't think I'll be getting up that high. we'll take a break. 3:23. Plenty more to come right here on 11:16 SEN. Welcome back. It's 26 minutes after 3. Kieran Blake in the studio. Of course, as he has been, he'll rejoin me during the week as well. In fact, I spoke to someone yesterday. We did a show, I'm trying to think what night it was, and we were talking about the old Australian cricketers and international cricketers. I think we had an hour and a half. It was phenomenal.
Amazing,
wasn't it?
Isn't it great to see people just reminiscing about the 80s and some of the great and not so great cricketers that graced these shores and graced our TV screens?
It was a good night that night. Yeah. Love going down memory lane, just recalling some of the old cricketers. Very shortly, we're going to chat to Mel Imlach, who's celebrating 50 consecutive years of playing at the Moorabbin Baseball Club, which is quite phenomenal. He is about to join us in just a tickle update. All the sport around the globe, we can tell you. Final score in the NFL wildcard playoff match, Seattle 26, Detroit 6. So an absolute pantsing there. And earlier today, Houston 27 defeated Oakland 14. The boys from the Vault Studio will be in after 5 o'clock. But Mel Imlach does join us on the line. Quite amazing. Started at Moorabbin Baseball Club when he was just 10, and he's still going in the summer season. Will it be his last? We're about to find out. Mel, welcome to the show.
G'day, Brett. Thanks very much.
Mighty achievement, Mel. I mean, 50 years of playing. Clearly the passion is still there. Is this going to be the last hurrah this season, just to close it off on a nice figure of 50, or any urge maybe to go again?
Well, I did make the announcement at the start of the season that I think this was going to be my last season. I turned 60 this year, and even though the body's still quite happy to keep playing, my wife and I got a lot of other things to do, so we think at this stage we'll free ourselves up to do that. But I have been heard to say that I'd be retiring probably a dozen or more times before, but I think this might be it.
So talking of the body, Mal, what position have you been playing? I guess over 50 years you've probably played every position. You've probably pitched and catched and first base through to left field. So talk us through it.
Well, through the juniors, I think, it was like that. Played everywhere from first base to pitch. But as I graduated from the juniors into the seniors, our club was short of catchers. So I've ended up catching and managed to get the job done. So that's the job that I've done for most of my career, and still, now that I'm down in the social team in the fourths, I'm still catching. But I think, truth be known, they've tried me in lots of other positions in recent years, and I'm no good at those, so catching's the only thing I can do.
So how have the knees held up for 50 years? Are you sitting in the Radox baths every night or rubbing WD-40 in?
No, look, I'm really fortunate. I suppose you'd say that I'm lightly built. I'm not carrying too much weight, and I've got pretty good genes too. My 87-year-old father is a good example of that. So fortunately, no, I can't complain of any aches and pains, and I can still get through. The shoulder's still okay, so I thank my lucky stars. So I've been able to enjoy it to the full all the years I've been playing.
Mel, many in your vintage still playing at Moorabbin, or you're the man at the top as far as that age group is concerned?
I am the man at the top. There's another good friend, David Woods, who looks after the grounds. He hasn't played for a couple of years, but I'd be the oldest by a couple of years of some guys that play in the fourths with us. There are some young kids running around with us too, which helped to make us feel a little bit younger. But there is a pretty healthy Masters competition in Melbourne, and there's lots of guys my age and a few older that are still trundling around in that and having a great time. So, I've played one event of Masters, Victorian Masters of Ballarat once a year, but I haven't gone to the Masters. I've kept playing in the main competition on the Sundays.
Now, Mel, a little birdie also told me that you're quite a talented songwriter. Is that right? A little something on the side, and that maybe you had a son that went on Australia's Got Talent or one of the shows.
Great. Okay. Little birdie's got a big voice, hasn't he? Yeah, I did have a son that went on X Factor, and I think made it through to the final 13 or something, and gave the family and his friends an amazing ride for that period of time. And yes, it's true that first show that he was on, I penned a song that he sang on his first appearance. So that was a real novelty and a real blaster for everyone around.
So obviously there's a few celebrations going around and a few after match drinks happening. Are you a bit liable to break out the guitar and regale people, the opposition, with a few numbers?
Well, not so much the opposition, but over the years I have written many baseball songs, and there have been some amazing occasions going back over the years. There's always an annual baseball trip away put together by a good friend, Greg Veal, and we have found ourselves, actually there's a one funny evening in particular. We're up at Corowa, and we all headed off late in the night with the guitars and eskies and found the edge of the Murray River and built ourselves a big fire. And we just hit a little bit of a golden time where all the songs were coming out beautifully and everyone's singing along and the fire was burning and the stars were out. And I found myself placing my guitar on the fire saying, "This just doesn't get any better than this." And you've never seen 10 blokes move quicker to rescue a guitar out of a fire in your life. So, but there was plenty of baseball songs sung that night as well.
Outstanding.
Well, yep. Over 50 years, Mel, have you seen baseball in Victoria and Australia change over that time?
Well, it's changed a lot. It was a winter sport when I first played, and there was no helmets being used. So as far as that goes, there's been a lot of changes. But I think the standard, the connection that we have with the States and the potential for kids to go over there and play college or play professional baseball now is huge. There's vast numbers of Australian kids over there playing and some of them doing very well and plenty in college. So that's probably the biggest change. The avenue for talented kids now to go through and make a career out of it is pretty extraordinary. When we're very young, we rub shoulders with kids that may very well have gone on and done very well, but the avenues weren't there. So good potential now for a talented kid.
Mel, I suppose we're doing this in reverse. I probably should have asked you this at the start, but how did you choose baseball as a sport? I mean, going back 50 years ago, and obviously, times have changed and the amount of sport offerings has changed. Yeah. But why did baseball appeal so much?
Well, baseball was a winter sport. I was playing cricket like most kids, and I also started playing football when I was very young for the Bentley Bulldogs, but I wasn't particularly good at it, and it was pretty light. And my father founded the Moorabbin Baseball Club in 1947,
right,
when all the gents were returning back from the war, and there was interest being developed everywhere to occupy their time and everything. So Dad had played baseball, and baseball was very strong back then. It was played through all the tech schools and there was every cricket club had its associated baseball club, and baseball was even played as a curtain raiser sometimes before the VFL games in those days, now AFL. So Dad had played a lot of baseball, and he looked at me as a little tacker running around, didn't think I was much of a footballer, so he said, come on, it's time you went and tried another sport. So that's how I started playing baseball.
There you go. A great achievement, 50 years at the Moorabbin Baseball Club, starting there at 10 and looking to sign off, and then obviously you and your wife can go and enjoy the spoils of the world and see what it's got to offer. Mel, well done, a great achievement. Hopefully you go out in style this season.
Thanks very much, Brett.
Mel Imlach, there you go, 50 consecutive years. That is a mighty achievement.
Great effort.
No break at all. We'll take a break. 26-4, Kieran Blake in the studio. Of course, 365 days of sport. 94291116 if you want to join us. Send us through a text, 0433981116. Great to be here at 23-4. Kieran Blake in the studio with me, as he has been quite a bit over the last few weeks. And I'll tell you what, we do like to unearth some people who don't get the notoriety they deserve. That's what this hour is all about.
Yeah, exactly right.
And we just chatted to Mel Imlach, 50 consecutive years. Rhiannon Ifland, of course, the world cliff diving champion. And a very special guest, Davey Wattabet, to join us very, very shortly. We can give you a few live scores. Plenty going on, Beefy. We've got screens going on everywhere.
Unbelievable, isn't it? It's difficult to catch up.
In the SEN studios, Houston and Seattle winning the wildcard playoffs in the NFL today. So I'll have a full wrap on that a little bit later on. WNBL could be a major upset brewing. The Dang Nong Rangers up against, of course, the Adelaide Lightning today. And that one is into the final period. Adelaide, who beat Melbourne last night, 75, leading the Rangers 64. So a team that hadn't won a game might win two in a row to start 2017. And live game going on in the W League at the moment. Melbourne City and Sydney FC. It is still nil-all there into the second half. But Davey Watt, of course, a bit of background before we welcome in, Davey.
Yeah, like I've said this before, I'm a massive Speedway fan, and I grew up in a Speedway family, and it doesn't quite get the kind of publicity it deserves. We have the big meeting at Etihad at the end of the season in October nowadays as the last round of the World Championship, which gets huge crowds, and Speedway was invented in Australia in 1923, which people don't realise, but you know, it's not really a city sport. It's this country sport that just grows out of everything, and people just love getting out on the tracks and having a good skid. But these guys, they put their bodies on the line. They put their lives on the line nearly every time they race, and it's just an amazing sport. And I think Davey would probably tell you about his kind of season in Europe and what that entails. So, Dave, good to have you on.
Thank you. Cheers.
And last night in Mildura, you came third in the final, but you won the first round in Adelaide last weekend.
Yeah, it's been going okay, mate. I've had a good start to the series, and you know, I was really hoping for a win last night as well in Mildura, but had a little bike problem in the final and sort of, you know, blew my chances. But yeah, it's gone pretty good so far, but it's a tough field this year, so I'm having to work pretty hard for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of big names that normally don't compete in the Australian Championships that decided to compete, because there is a big carrot for the Australian champion. They get the wildcard spot in the Australian Grand Prix at Etihad Stadium at the end of the year.
Yeah, and that's huge. I mean, you know, that's such a special event, and you know, it's the pinnacle of the sport, so you know, to be able to start here, you know, got to work pretty hard to win the Australian Championship. But yeah, that is a really big prize, and you know, it's something that I think everybody's you know, secretly got their eye on.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Speedway's kind of, it's had a bit of a boost in the last couple of years through, I mean, Fox Sports showing the British League and the Grand Prix and everything else. But obviously, in the Australian field, we've got the World Under 21 Champion and the World Under 16 Champion as well. So the sport's looking pretty healthy.
Mate, it's gone really good for Australian Speedway as well. And I think, you know, that just sort of shows how much hard work, you know, the Australian, you know, the local clubs within Australia, you know, have worked really hard to build up, you know, the young guys. And, you know, it's great for, you know, for me to see, you know, watching these guys progress year after year is fantastic. And, you know, Australia's always had a pretty big role to play in the world of Speedway. And, these young guys are continuing to do that. So, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic at the moment, and hopefully it can continue.
Now, you've just turned 39, I think, yesterday. Now, judging by Greg Hancock, who's just won the World Championship at 46, you haven't reached your peak yet.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping so, mate. yeah, it's going okay. Look, I'm fit and I'm healthy and happy, and, you know, I love riding my bike, and, you know, I can somehow make a living out of it still. So, yeah, I'm doing all right. And, yeah, I don't feel 39. Some mornings I do, you know. You have some big crashes every now and then and feel pretty old. But, yeah, I'm doing all right, mate. And, you know, I still show these young fellas how to get around, that's for sure.
Good stuff. Davey, just in your travels around the world, where do you find the most passionate Speedway fans?
Without a doubt, that's Poland. You know, in Poland... I go to Poland every Sunday and race there, and those guys are just fanatical. You know, the whole country, really is quite fanatical about Speedway, and, you know, those guys are, it's big money, it's big pressure, it's huge, and, you know, they're setting off flares and air horns, and, it gets pretty crazy. So, but they're pretty special there, and I absolutely love going to Poland. It's absolutely fantastic. Great place, but it's, the Speedway's been just phenomenal.
So for most people that don't realise, you base yourself in the UK for 6, 7, 8 months a year, but you'll ride for Rye, you've just signed with Rye House, who have just stepped up to the top league in the UK, but you'll also ride for a club in Poland. And are you riding Denmark and Sweden this year?
No, just in Denmark, or in Poland. So, so we do England throughout the week, like through, you know, midweek, and Denmark is either on a Wednesday or a Friday, and Poland's on Sunday. So, most of the time we've got to go to Poland on a Saturday and do training and stuff. So, I spend a fair bit of time on planes and airports, and, yeah, life's pretty hectic over there. So, I don't get to sit still too long, so it's nice to come back to Aussie and have a bit of a holiday and, get to ride around here and get to see all the people that I've met over the years travelling around. I'm in Mildura at the moment and, get to hang out with some people that I've known for a long time down here, Cameron Woodward and his family, and, a whole bunch of people that, you know, it's great to come back and have some time here, but, I don't like staying off a bike for long.
It's an unbelievably dangerous sport, Dave, and I hate to talk about injuries and stuff, but just run us through some of the injuries you've endured over the years.
Oh, mate, I don't know if we got time for that. I've broken every bone in my both feet, left ankle, ligaments in both knees. I've done 10 vertebrae in different places and times. Collarbone 7 times. Fingers, wrists. Yeah, scaphoids, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, I've done a few. Yeah, mate.
and why Speedway, Dave?
You know what? I've got no idea. It's just something that I guess I grew up watching. You know, my dad took me to the Speedway, and I grew up riding motorbikes, doing motocross and flat track, and I always loved going to watch the Speedway at the Brisbane Echo, and and I just thought it was awesome. And then I guess, as you grow older, you find out that you got to work for a living. And then I found out that you could do that by riding motorbikes. So I thought, well, that sounds like a bit of me. So put my head down and decided that I should ride a motorbike a bit better.
We're talking to Davey Watt, who leads the Australian Speedway Championship, also competing right around the globe as well. I mean, often we hear in, different forms of motorsport, Davey, the expenses, with the sport. Just take us inside that aspect of, Speedway.
Well, look, here it's not so hectic. You know, I've just got, a couple of bikes and, to the spares and whatever to travel around with. But, in England, I have 3 bikes and, a van and a workshop and all that kind of stuff and a full-time mechanic. And in Poland, I have another 3 bikes or 4, actually, and 2 mechanics or one or two mechanics and workshop van, you know, all the gear that goes with it. And yeah, it's a pretty big business to run, and a very hectic one because there's a lot of logistics involved. You know, I'm in, I'm on four different flights at least every week, and you know, I've got to organise, all of that. You know, boys floating around on ferries and vans all across Europe, and engines, and yeah, it's crazy. You know, there's always spare engines floating around.
And the downside is, obviously, if you do get injured and you don't ride, you don't get paid.
Yeah, exactly. And as a businessman, you know, I've still got employees, and all the expenses are still going out. But without me scoring points, I don't get anything in, so I need to make sure that I score some points.
Davey, great to catch up with you. Go on, Beefy.
And we've got a couple of rounds left in the Australian Championship. Wednesday at Undera, which is kind of northern Victoria, close to Shepparton, which is a lovely little track. Undera I go to every year, population 300. Apart from when the Speedway's in town, it swells to about 4,000. And then next Saturday, we're up at Currie in New South Wales for the final round.
Yeah, mate, I'm looking forward to both of them. They're big events, and there's everybody's chasing me down at the moment, so yeah, got a bit of pressure on me, and I'm really looking forward to it, mate. Everyone should come out and enjoy some speedway.
Definitely,
good stuff. Congratulations on what you've achieved, Davey, so far, and good luck for the last two rounds. And just good to tell people a bit about your story.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks for having me,
Davey.
Davey. Watt, there he is. He leads the Australian Speedway Championship. Big business, also competing around the world and in Europe.
You should see
Poland. Can you just imagine it?
Poland, if you get on YouTube and see some of the Polish like grand final playoff matches, there's 30,000 people there.
Yeah.
And the crowds are mad. It's just mental. It's just, they are so passionate about their teams. And people don't realize this. People think it's Europe, it's football, it's handball, it's stuff like that. Speedway is their national sport.
Yep.
They build stadiums specifically for Speedway. They'll host a couple, if not three rounds of the World Championship every year, and they will sell out. It's amazing, and they take it very, very seriously.
Phenomenal. Quick update in the world of sport. The Hurricanes are three for 46 at the moment. 108 off 68 to defeat the Brisbane Heat. That's in the WBBL. A couple of updates as far as the WNBL are concerned. Looks like that might just about be all over. The Adelaide Lightning, of course, were bottom, taking on the top team, the Dandenong Rangers, and they've defeated them by 7, 80 to 73. So a team that hadn't won a game in 15 win back-to-back games across the weekend. We'll update the NBL very shortly, and also a bit of tennis as well. 11-4 on 11-16 SEN. Quick update in the world of tennis for Jets Fitness, 24/7 gym, of course. No locking contracts, low fees, jets.com.au. Matthew Barton and Chris O'Connell making it through. Qualifying for the main draw of the Apia International in Sydney today, but Arena Rodionova unfortunately has missed out, defeated in the third set tiebreaker, 7-6. And live at the Hobart International, the young Aussie certainly going the distance with the fifth seed, Misaki Doi of Japan. I speak of Lizette Cabrera, the wild card, trailing 4-3 on serve in the third and final set. So we'll keep an eye on that. Alina Svitolina pulling out of course, Sydney today, the seventh seed with an illness. So Monica Puig goes straight through. Svetlana Kuznetsova, Eugenie Bouchard through to the second round a little bit earlier. But Kieran Blake is in the studio. Another very special guest, Beefy.
Yeah, definitely. I've came across, everyone kind of knows about boomerang. We live in Australia for a start. I mean, so you know about boomerang, but the world of boomerang sport is very different. And it's amazing to know that Australians aren't the best at it. I just don't understand why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When I was a young kid and you're learning about Australia, one of the first icons, symbols.
Exactly right, yeah.
You can see is the boomerang.
Yeah. But it's the bloody Germans. It's the bloody Germans are the best in the world at boomerang. Now, we've got Robert Kroll, who is the secretary of the Boomerang Association of Australia. He's going to tell us about boomerang sport and where it's going and how it's progressing. But Robert's got a great story because he also makes boomerangs as well.
Is that right? Robert, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Good to have you on. Just give us a bit of background, Rob, to the Boomerang Association of Australia.
Well, the Boomerang Association started in 1969. and it was organised by an Aboriginal man called Bill Onus, and he got the Boomerang Association going. He never actually made it to see it. He died before it started, but he was the inspiration for the Boomerang Association of Australia.
Now, there's competitions. It's a worldwide thing. It's not, you know, it's not just local. There's so many countries playing. Tell us about the different disciplines that you have to compete in boomerang events.
There's several different events. There's accuracy, Aussie round, which is throwing the boomerang up to 50 metres and getting it to come back into accuracy circles and then trying to catch it. You can get 20 points per throw. There's maximum time aloft, where you throw the boomerang as hard as you can, try and keep it in the air as long as you can, and then take a catch. There's the fastest time for 5 catches. There's trick catching, where you throw one boomerang and then you do trick catches, and then you throw 2 boomerangs and you do trick catches with the 2 boomerangs in the air. So you have to keep 2 boomerangs in the air and catch them both if you can. And then there's the most catches in 5 minutes, which is called endurance.
Excellent. Now, am I right in thinking the Germans are leading the world in boomerang at the minute?
They're pretty well up there, but at the moment, a Swiss guy called Manu Schultz is the world champion as we speak, and the Americans actually won the world championships just last year. So the Germans were the world champions before that, but they've just been knocked off.
There you go. And how do the Australian throwers rank amongst the world ranking, so to speak?
The Australians came about 8th this time, so not a great result. But we don't have a lot of throwers competing these days. We need more throwers, like in the local scene, but we don't seem to have that as much anymore. When I first started, there was somewhere between 400 and 600 boomerang throwers in Melbourne and Sydney and, you know, all over Australia, but mainly Melbourne and Sydney. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of dropped off quite a bit. We don't get much publicity. We don't get much sponsorship or anything like that.
But yeah, and that's what kind of my thing with this show, and to get people participate and shed a bit of light on these sports. And Robert, I know that you actually manufacture boomerangs as well. So what are the nuances in making a boomerang nowadays?
Well, one of the main things is to use the right sort of wood and to put the right sort of aerofoil on it. A lot of the cheap and nasty boomerangs you see, they don't have much aerofoil on them. They don't have the right sort of wood. They're either too thick or too brittle, that sort of thing. But if a boomerang's made properly, it's much easier to get it to come back than if you buy, say, something made in Bali and it's selling for a few dollars in a a market somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So we talk about boomerang and how we can get more people throwing boomerang. Is there kind of, what events have we got kicking around Melbourne, Victoria, or around Australia? I know the Australian National Championships are in Canberra 1st of April, but
It's not actually in Canberra. It's in
South Australia. You're right.
Adelaide,
sorry.
Or yes. Near Adelaide, in a place called Nuriupta.
Good Aboriginal.
In the Barossa Valley.
Yeah, exactly. So what if somebody is very interested in taking up boomerang throwing, how would they go about it?
Well, what they do is they type in Boomerang Association of Australia into Google, and then they can get the Boomerang Association website, and from that they can look up how to join the Boomerang Association. It's it's quite cheap to join the Boomerang Association at the moment. It's about $15 for a junior and $30 for a senior, and we can actually supply T-shirts and caps for a small extra price. But if anyone does that, they can actually do it quite easily.
And obviously you can get to Switzerland or Germany or the States or Brazil and represent the country.
Well, exactly. I've been representing Australia since 1981. I was in the first ever international competition against America. And from there, I've I've been all over the world. I've been to New Zealand and South America, Europe, America. I've been all over the world. Boomerang throwing's taken me just about everywhere you could think of.
Quite amazing. I tell you what, we unearthed some things that it's just a knowledgeable hour, this, to learn about sports that I had no idea about. Good on you, Robert. All the best. Really appreciate some time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Robert Kroll.
And Swanee from Croydon. Yeah, it is bloody awesome to watch. If you haven't seen Speedway Racing before, please look it up on YouTube. It's spectacular.
Robert Kroll there, the Secretary of the Boomerang Association of Australia. So boomerang throwing, we've covered a bit of Speedway, a little bit of cliff diving, and honoured a man who's played 50 consecutive years with the Moorabbin Baseball Club. There you go.